I just want to take a minute just to honor the moms and dads that are here this morning. You know, when I went out to the toilet, they're worshiping upstairs. You can hear the music, but you can hear the voices of these little ones worshiping, screaming and shouting. And we know, all of us sitting here, how difficult life is. And I want to commend you and say to the moms and dads, well done for bringing your children here this morning. As much as we as adults contend with so much, and we're trying to find God and who we are, so are they. And when we bring them here on Sunday mornings, we give them every opportunity to seek the one and true God. We give them every opportunity just to come in and you know, find themselves and know that they are loved by something so much greater than we could ever offer them, and that's our Father God in heaven. So I want to commend all of you. Well done. It is brilliant, brilliant. So we have reached our final installment. It is part four. We are excited. We are looking today at faith in action. I don't know about you, but this last 3 weeks building in today, it's just really profound and just sets us up to know that through Jesus Christ that we made new, and so many different things that we've had to struggle and deal with in the past, that when we start to believe in Him that has been dealt with, we can continue to walk this life out and just leave it all behind and just walk it out with Jesus. So I want to start off the morning message with I just want to share a memory with you about a memory that I have of with Casey when she was about 2, 3 and a half, which is my daughter. We're down at the Olympic pool. I am in the deep end, treading water, battling to stay afloat. You know, it's not easy to tread water. I don't know if you've ever tried to tread water. But as much as I'm treading the water in the deep end, Casey's on the edge of the pool, and I'm just urging her, encouraging her just to jump into my arms. I say, Casey, just go for it. You can do it. Don't be afraid, because there was this hesitance of jumping into the unknown at 2. I said, just jump. I was encouraging her, urging her to jump into the water. What does Casey do? Eventually, she doesn't just jump into the water, into my arms. She literally lands on top of me. We go under the water. We come up. I've got a smile on my face. There's no facial expression on her except that she's choking on water. But I push her to the side. She gets out. She's again on the edge. Again, I'm treading water, encouraging her to jump out to me. She jumps out again, not into my arms, literally on top of my head. We go under. This time when she comes up, there's a bit of a smile mixed in with the choking of the water in her mouth. But we push her, and we did it a few times. And just hold that thought. We're going to come back to it just now. Every one of us has to put our faith in something or someone. In those moments, we had to exercise confidence that the person or thing would help us and not harm us. I know for me, I have been in that situation, and I'm pretty sure all of us sitting here at some time or other have had to exercise confidence in someone that they were going to outwork for the good of what we were trying to accomplish, and they weren't going to bring harm. I've been there. Having faith in Jesus means that we trust Him to guide us every day of our lives. On Friday morning, I found myself in the worship in Joburg, and I was just like getting lost in the worship, but at the same time, my mind started to wander on the things that I have accomplished, I have done, I have felt and experienced, and the disappointments and the victories, and a whole lot of different are. All of a sudden, I found myself convicted. Where I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, was it I? Was it you? Wasn't it we? Wasn't I with you when you had victory? Wasn't I there when you felt the disappointment, the heartache, the brokenness? Wasn't I with you there when you wanted to go over there? Aren't I standing with you right now? It's not an I, friends. It's a we. It's me with the Holy Spirit doing this life. When we do this, when we exercise our faith, we are made new by the power of God. There's one important step that underlies all our faith, and that's faith requires an action. In the story I shared about Casey, I could say that Casey's faith was in the fact that she knew that I was going to care for her, that when she jumped into my arms, I would be able to hold her up, that she wouldn't have, you know, drowned or sunk to the bottom of the water. And that might have only have come after the second jump in the pool, not the first one. She didn't know what was going to go on. But friends, the evidence of her faith was her actually jumping into the water. And I know what you're all thinking. Come on, Ryan. She's two. She didn't know any better. She didn't know how deep that water was. She didn't know if you were able to hold her up or not. She didn't know the consequences of not being able to swim and jumping in the water. If that was me and I couldn't swim and I was looking down at you on the edge of the pool, seeing how you were struggling to tread the water, I'm like, I'm not jumping in there. You probably would actually have a negative response in the sense like, I want to bring you home. But friends, I knew how deep that water was. I knew my capability and ability that I would be able to hold her up. Friends, God knows how deep the water is. He knows his capability. He knows the very roads that he is calling us to walk down. He is not going to lead us down a trail just to, I wasn't there. He's not going to say, take a leap of faith into the deepness of the oceans and then let us drown. No, he is going to be there to lift us up. He's going to be there with his outstretched arms. He's wanting us to encounter him, experience him. And the unfortunate thing is, what? Unfortunate? The unfortunate thing is for us to experience God, it is taking steps of faith that have an action to it, to experience. That song we sang earlier, is this all? I think that was the words. Is it all? In order for us to experience more of God, we have to learn that we have to walk this walk out by faith. And every step of faith that we take, we start to see more and more of what God has called us to. If we just keep still and we stand here and there's no obedience to what he's calling us into by faith, we will never experience what he has over here, what he has over here, what he has over here, and then the fullness of what he is trying to accomplish through our lives with him. The reason why I used that story with Casey is because Matthew 18 talks about children will inherit the kingdom of God. So it's a childlike faith that we have to have in order to inherit his kingdom. Childlike faith helps us put aside our will, and in this way, our opinions and misconceptions do not get in the way of trusting Jesus wholeheartedly. I'm going to say that again. Childlike faith helps us put aside our will, and in this way, our opinions and misconceptions do not get in the way of trusting Jesus wholeheartedly. Casey looked down at me and she said, if my dad's saying I can jump into his arms, he's going to keep me safe, then here I go. Yeah. That is the kind of faith God is calling you and I into. The Bible seems to suggest that true faith is demonstrated by our deeds. A powerful example of faith in the scripture is that of the centurion in Luke 7. So if you would like to turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 7, it's going to be from verses 1 to 6, and then we're going to just unpack everything that happens here. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion's servant, who his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof." So the question we have to ask ourselves is, who was this centurion? First of all, we got to understand that at the time, Rome was the authority over Israel, and he was a Roman soldier. But he wasn't just a Roman soldier. He was actually a Gentile who had no heritage to the Jewish nation, but yet he was absolutely convinced that Jesus could heal his servant. What we also need to understand about this guy, that the Roman law at the time stated that if a servant got injured or was ill and could not work, their master, this centurion, had the full backing of the Roman Empire to actually have that servant killed and just replace him. But his heart was to see his servant restored. Another interesting thing here is, it would have been very interesting to see how this outplayed. At the time, the Jewish custom was that Jews wouldn't enter into a Gentile home. But it's very interesting that when he sends the Jewish elders to intercede on his behalf, because he felt he's not worthy enough to go and speak to Jesus because of his who he was, being a Gentile, he sends his elders off to them. But it's very interesting. Jesus would have known the custom of the Jewish people, but yet he said he's still going to go to this Gentile's house. That would have been so interesting to see how that would have played out if the centurion actually allowed him to come. But here we have the centurion. He's full of faith, trusting God, knowing that Jesus is the only one that can save him. We need to recognize, friends, that Jesus is our only hope for healing. But it's not just healing. There's all different spheres of our life that we can, you know, recognize that Jesus can be a part of every area of our life. There's not one part of who we are or what we are, you know, walking into that Jesus doesn't want to be a part of. Sometimes when we feel Jesus isn't there, it's because we're not giving him the invitation to come into this area of our life. We must put our faith into action by asking him to heal us and make him new. Friends, we need to be intentional. Putting your life into Jesus' hands may feel like a leap of faith, but we can trust that his arms are always outstretched to catch us. So this week, in my preparation for this morning's message, I came across just a quick read of a father and a son. The son is trapped in the house. The house is caught alight. It's on fire. And his only escape is up onto the roof. So he gets up onto the roof. The flames, the house is engulfed in flames. And the father is outside looking up on the roof. And he's shouting out to his son. Can you imagine fathers here, even moms, your kid stuck on a roof? You know the danger that they're in. And this father is shouting out, "Jump, my arms are out, I will catch you." And he repeats this like 3 or 4 times. And then the son is like, he's on the roof and he shouts, "Daddy." Because now the smoke, the flames, it's pitch black on top. He can't see his dad. He says, "Dad, I can't see you." And the father again at the bottom, looking up in the roof, says, "It doesn't matter that you can't see me. I can see you. Jump, trust me." Many of us have a tendency to trust in ourselves and think we know how to walk this life out on our own. I know I've been there. Only to find that Jesus is the only way, and how important it is to allow him, because we have to allow him to partner with us in our life, in every area of our life. We have to step out in faith and believe Jesus can do anything. Is there a situation in your life right now? I want to encourage you, believe that situation, that Jesus can do anything in that situation to bring freedom, to bring liberation, and to restore whatever needs to be restored. Jesus can do it. We just dare to believe it, that he can, and then allow him through the Holy Spirit to minister to us, to speak to us, and outwalk this and outwork it. Jumping into point number 2, it says, faith believes that Jesus can do anything. When we start to believe that Jesus can do anything, we start to live in a different way. We read in verse 6 that Jesus follows the elders to the centurion's home to respond to the request to heal the servants. But before he can make it to the house, the centurion sends a message. So we're going to pick it up again from in chapter 7, from verse 6 down to verse 10, and then we'll just unpack it a bit more. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I've not found such great faith even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servants well. My gosh, the faith of this centurion. This guy was so convinced in who Jesus was and what Jesus could do. He also understand who he was, being a Gentile. I can just picture him. He's like, oh my gosh, you know, Jesus actually doesn't even have to come here. I believe in him so much. You. You go out onto the road. You meet him out on the road, and you just tell him just to say the word that my servant is healed. Go out and meet him right now for me. He doesn't even have to come in here because I'm not worthy, but I still trust and have faith that even though I feel this way, that I know who he is, that he's the Son of God, and I just have to have his word speak, and my servant will be healed. The centurion believes this because he understood authority. He would have understood the authority that he walked in, but he would have recognized the authority that was over Jesus. Friends, when we start to recognize the authority that Jesus carries, not just in the world and in heaven, but the authority that he carries in us and how we trust him and how he outworks this life, he'll just say the word. And things will change in our lives when we believe. Just like the centurion, go out. He doesn't even have to come here. Just go out to him and tell him, just say the word. He's like, he could have been like this. Oh, you know. Often a lot of us will go, no, we believe. I have faith. I believe in Jesus. You know, this dude here is going to die. Well, it's a pity that Jesus isn't here. He's over there. Oh, well, sorry, dude. You know, we tried. No. Go. Go get him. We want to activate our faith. Actually, he doesn't even have to come. Just go tell him to say the word, and the healing, restoration, freedom comes. True faith has confidence that Jesus can do anything, that there is nothing outside of his scope of power. Maybe you're sitting here this morning. Our marriages are in a struggle. I want to encourage you, go straight to Jesus and ask him to change your relationship. When we have addictions that we continually struggle with, we go straight to the source, Jesus Christ himself, and we ask him to give us victory over it. When we find ourselves in dark places and struggling with depression, we go straight to Jesus and ask him to speak the word of light over that situation. Many of us might be sitting here saying, we've asked and nothing's happening. Friends, we got to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us, speak to us, and then partner with Jesus and make the adjustments and the changes and align our lives to what he's saying, to see relationships restored, to see addictions broken, to see depression broken, and allow Jesus to work in us. Living by faith means that we trust the author and perfecter of faith. That is Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12 says, and as we live this life, fixing our eyes on Jesus, we've got to live our life with our eyes fixed on Christ, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Despite the troubles in life, and yes, friends, we're going to experience trouble after trouble after trouble. It is going to happen. We trust that we can rest securely in Him. He is the peace of the world. It's going to take exercising our faith by activating who we believe in. We're going to jump straight into point number 3. Faith joins God in serving the world. Faith is not just about believing that Jesus can do something in our lives. And I want to just throw this out this morning. You were created to encounter God. You have been created to find community, to come into local churches. And you were created not only to build your relationship with Christ and live a life by faith, but you were created to fulfill the destiny that God has for your life. We've got to be intentional, friends. But we've also been given faith, believing that Jesus also wants to work through us. Oh my gosh, so there's more work to do. You know, life is busy enough, yes. But this is a supernatural thing that God wants to do through us. He wants us to be the light in the world, a very dark world, to bring people in. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9 says, For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. In Ephesians 2 verse 10, it says, For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. What are the good works God has prepared for us to do? Friend, be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you now and start walking it out. And as you're obedient, you will start to walk in the very thing that Christ has called you to do. And the work that He has prepared, you will start to see it unraveling in your life. Obedience by faith. James speaks of the importance of having an active faith. So we're going to jump into James 2, verse 14 to 17, if you'd like to join me there. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep well and well fed, but does nothing about their physical need, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by an action, is dead. James is asking a very important question this morning. What good does it to have faith without having any kind of service, action, or work accompanying it? Because then it's not really a faith. So we understand. So James is not trying to oppose Paul here, where Paul says, you know, we are saved by faith through grace. It's the next step of living out the very faith that God is calling us to. So he's not opposing it or saying he's wrong. We are saved. We are going to heaven. But the life that God has intended us to live, it has to be one activated by actions and works by faith in order to experience what the Bible talks about, that how we can live this life now as heaven on earth. But if we continue just to not operate in faith, we will never experience the life that God has for us. So he's not saying, well, now you're going to go to hell because you've got no works. He's not talking about that. He's experiencing kingdom life here on earth as we walk it out by faith. The example that James gives us in seeing a need around us and doing nothing to help that need. James would consider that a dead faith. Friends, the world needs you and I to activate the faith that God's given us. That's why local church is so important. What we do here and how we build our relationship with Jesus will ultimately see people come into the church. So how do we reach out in concern and service to the world? There could be many. I'm just touching on this one. We point people to Jesus. Jesus is the pioneer and he is the perfecter of our faith. But we point Jesus, again, I've mentioned this, through the local church. So we point Jesus, he encounters God. Jesus is the head of the church. So we come under him in community through the local church. And from that place being submerged to Jesus in the church, we start to learn the very thing that he's called us to, and then we apply it to our life by outworking it. where we start to walk into the fulfillment, or we fulfill the destiny that He's called us. The new life that Christ has given us is found in local churches under Christ, activating our faith and walking out our destiny and being the light of the world and attracting the people to come in, not to Grace Life, not the building, into the people of God. And that's what we are called to. We are made new by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that He brings us into his home. But we are also made new for the benefit of the broken people around us. The big question is why? So people see Jesus in you and I. The closer we get to Jesus, friends, the more we are able to manifest the very heart of God around us into people, and they start to experience and see the hope of glory, which is Jesus Christ. We have been given this wonderful, I'm going to say job, it's probably the wrong word, job, and that's to reveal the Father heart of God, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, to people on earth. Are we not blessed and privileged by God that He trusts us that much? I'm coming to land, if you all wouldn't mind standing with me. So I just want to share this, but we didn't start this. It's not our good idea, faith in action. We've got to go back to the very source. This was a God idea. He revealed it. He showed it to us by putting faith into action. God has faith in you and I, and He activated His faith by sending His Son, so that through His Son, we come into the very family of believers under God, and then what we've learned and seen, we then learn and see it on, and we do what He has done. How can our actions and deeds align with God, or with our faith? Maybe there's something holding you back, and I just want to just finish off in Hebrews 4. It says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need. If there's anything holding you back this morning from just taking this step, it could be anything. God knows, you know. It could be a relationship. It could be depression. It could be maybe you're just carrying a whole lot of stuff. I want to encourage us this morning. Let's take our first step of activating this faith by laying it down at the hands of Jesus, whatever it may be that's holding you back from taking these steps of faith this morning. I'm going to ask you, the picture is going to, as you lift your hands in the spiritual, you actually put it at the feet of Jesus. And if that is you, if you know that you're being held back by anything, is it an addiction, it's a relationship, it could be anything. I want to encourage you and I want to ask you to please, just like I'm putting my hand up, that we're going to, as our hands go up, it's a prophetic picture or a picture of us laying it down at the feet of Jesus. And then I'm just going to pray for you. So Father God, you see the wonderful hands that have gone up today, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to you, and we know that when we lay things down at your feet, we can leave it there and we can get up and we can march on into the destiny that you have called us, Father God. You're not asking us to work it out. Yes, there are things that need to be worked out, but ultimately, you are saying, I'm here to work it out with you. So, Father God, we thank you for the hands that are up. Lord, we give you all the praise. We give you all the honor, Lord. We thank you, Lord, right now that you're imparting wisdom and revelation, Father God, that you're giving new ideas and new ways how to deal with what you have called us to deal with right now in your mighty name, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that we are the people that you love. Amen.